Now, we're going to return this afternoon to the prophecy of Isaiah. We're going to read briefly from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 44, verses 21 through 23. Three verses from Isaiah chapter 44. And so listen, here is the word of God, Isaiah 44, beginning at verse 21. Remember these things, O Jacob, and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you, you are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud, and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. That's the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are mindful of our weakness. And so we come this afternoon freely acknowledging it. We've been so blessed by your goodness that we find ourselves wearied and tired. We thank you, Father, for the kindnesses that you've shown to us. But we acknowledge that this time on a busy Lord's Day afternoon, it's not easy for us to focus as we should. And so we pray that you would give us attentiveness to be able to hear your word and grace to profit from it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of Lord's Day evenings ago, when last we were considering Isaiah 44, you'll remember that that Isaiah took us on a field trip to the idol factory. And we had a good time on that field trip. And I really can't remember a field trip that I didn't have a good time on. But we had a good time at the idol factory. It was very instructive because we saw the idol makers. And quite honestly, we had to suppress a chuckle at the folly of what they were doing. The piece of wood that, part of it you use to make a fire, you warm yourself, you cook your meal, the rest of it you carve into an idol and you fall down and worship it. And, you know, that is absolutely ridiculous, but it's tragic as well. And it was a tragic demonstration of just the follies of idolatry. And as we observed a couple of weeks ago, it seemed like it really, Isaiah didn't have to travel very far to be able to find an idol factory. And of course, neither do we. The idol factory is all around us, and the folly of the idolaters is fully on display. And you and I, as the people of God, need to be on guard lest we be deceived and place our confidence in things that, as Isaiah said, they are they're a lie. And the blindness of the idolater, says Isaiah, is in that there is a lie at his right hand and he doesn't recognize it. Isaiah, you'll remember, is speaking to people who are on the verge of exile. So if in the early part of chapter 44 he's taken them on a field trip to the idol factory, what lies before them is a period of 70 years where they're going to be living in the idol factory, because you'll remember God's people, God's unfaithful people are going to be taken into exile in Babylon. And for 70 years, they're going to be living in the idol factory. And so a part of the thrust of what Isaiah is doing in these verses is preparing the faithful remnant of God's people for those 70 years when they're going to be living in the idol factory. And so it's very important for them to learn the lessons so that they'll be well prepared for that time when they're going to be away from Jerusalem, away from the temple, and surrounded on all sides by the most overt manifestations of idolatry. You go on the field trip, and the field trip is great. You come back, you've got to do an assignment, haven't you? You've got to write down, perhaps do an essay or presentation on the things that you've learned. So we want this afternoon briefly to look at these three verses and draw from these three verses lessons that follow on from our field trip in the idol factory. And in these verses, God sets before his people some things that they need to keep in mind during the 70 years that lie ahead of them when they're going to be in exile. And so here are the things that need to be remembered. First of all, verse 21, don't forget to remember. Then in verse 22, don't forget to return. And in verse 23, don't forget to rejoice. So those are three reminders that we want to look at. And the first is don't forget to remember. Now that sounds like a tautology, doesn't it? Don't forget to remember. But you know, there are ways of remembering things, aren't there? When you think of someone's birthday, and when you remember someone's birthday, that means a little bit more than just thinking of a date on a calendar, doesn't it? To remember someone's birthday is to actually acknowledge the fact. Isn't it really sad if someone forgets your birthday? And they might say to you, well, I knew it was your birthday, but really didn't do anything about it. And you know, that's just awkward, isn't it? How much more awkward when God's people, away from God's temple, away from Jerusalem, away from the land of promise, forget to remember. Not just remember that God is their God, but actually because God is their God, that means something. There are certain things they should do. And for Isaiah's faithful hearers, the minority of Isaiah's hearers who were faithful, it was going to be very important for them that when they would be in exile in Babylon, when they would be away from the land of promise, that they remember that they are God's people, that they are God's servants. And not just make mental note of the fact, but actually work out the implications of that. That's what verse 21 is about. God says, remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. God says, remember these things because you are my servant. Brothers and sisters, you and I are the Lord's servants as we live in the idol factory. And that means more than simply saying, oh yes, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus. Yes, I'm a Christian. Actually, it actually means what we were talking about this morning, this idea of being on the way, walking in the Lord Jesus. Paul, remember, writing in Ephesians chapter 2, and we've already referred to that verse where Paul says, you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that you should walk in them. Jesus has redeemed you to walk, to live a life of obedience, to honor the Lord Jesus by your obedience as you live in the particular parts of the idol factory that you find yourself in during the week. And Isaiah gives this encouragement. Do you notice it at the end of verse 21? Because God says, you will not be forgotten by me. And isn't it true that we are forgetful, don't we? You know, we go out Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. We kind of forgotten. We allow our memory to lapse, and we forget that we're followers of Jesus, and we act like someone who's not a follower of Jesus. Or we're just preoccupied and distracted and so many things that it's really hard for us. You felt the stress, you know, isn't that right? We've experienced the stresses where it's like our mind is just so preoccupied by the things that are bearing down on us. God says, you might forget, I don't forget. And I think it's wonderful that God does not forget us. God constantly has us in mind. And even though we may be forgetful, God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget us. And Matthew Henry says that sometimes we think that when we remember God, that he will remember us. And Henry goes on to say, no, he remembered us first. You know, I think that's great. Sometimes we have that moment of catching ourselves on, so to speak, when we think to ourselves, oh, I'm not acting the way I should be. I'm not trusting the way I should be. I'm not behaving the way I should be. I'm not thinking the way I should be. God has not forgotten us. God remembers. So don't forget to remember. Don't forget to return. That's the other reminder that we're given in verse 22. God says, I've blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And people you visit with someone and you're taking your leave of them, and they'll say to you, don't be a stranger, be sure to come back, come back again, come back soon. God is saying that to his people. He's saying, don't forget to come back. Don't forget to return. And so the reminder here, well, first of all, these people are going to go off into exile. But it's a limited duration. That's a long period of exile. 70 years, that's a long time. But these people are not to forget that they are God's people and that God is going to bring them back. He's going to bring them back to the land that he promised them. And so he rolls out the welcome mat. He says, don't forget to return. Remember that here is where you belong, and be ready to return there. And in fact, he says, I blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. And you think of the sun coming out and the morning mist and the sun burning that mist away. The mist is no match for the warming rays of the sun. And here God is saying to his people, I'm able to deal with your sins. And that's good news. You think of these exiles who perhaps in exile in Babylon are thinking, have we totally blown it? Is there any hope? And God's saying, no, I'm going to bring you back. I forgive your sins. The sins that you've committed are no match for my grace. And of course, if that's true of the people of God going off into Babylonian exile, it's something that's also true for us in those moments when perhaps we've forgotten to remember that we're God's people and we wander off into disobedience and all the various forms that disobedience takes. And God's like the father with the prodigal son. The welcome mat the welcome mat's rolled out. And God says, don't forget to return. God always invites us back. I want you to remember that, because sometimes we think, I've really blown it this time. And sometimes we think, well, I probably just sinned once too many times. And no, God has the welcome mat rolled out. God says, return to me. He invites us back. He is like the father of the prodigal son who went running down the street to welcome that son back. And the son is thinking to himself, I've utterly blown it. I'm not worthy to be a... If I can just get in the house as a servant, I'll be happy. And the father says, no, you're a son. Welcome back. Come back. So I want to speak... I want you to let the scripture speak to your heart this morning. And I want you to be encouraged, because God has the welcome Matt rolled out. He invites us back. He hears us when we confess our sins. His ears are opened. His grace is sufficient for all of our sin. It burns. And you think of how insubstantial the mist is and the cloud. And, you know, those sins that weigh us down like lead weights, in light of the grace of the Lord Jesus, in light of the forgiveness of our God, they evaporate. They're gone. They're dealt with. So God says, don't forget to return. And then here's a last thing. Don't forget to rejoice. And in verse 23, did you notice there's just such a change in tone where, well, it really sounds like Isaiah is getting in the spirit of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, where there's just this great burst of celebration where Isaiah is calling on the heavens and the earth to celebrate, the mountains and the forest and every tree to burst forth, because God has redeemed Jacob and God's going to be glorified in Israel. God's going to be glorified in his people. And that's something that calls for the wildest and most extravagant celebration in response. And you see, this might strike us as a tall order. And you and I, living in the idol factory, where many a time it does feel like we're very far from our spiritual home. Far, heaven seems distant, and even the representation of heaven that's manifest in the community of God's people, that we feel very isolated at times during the week and very lonely and very separated from God's people, and sometimes it's hard to rejoice. But you see, Isaiah is reminding people in that exile situation that there is cause for rejoicing, because God does redeem and God is glorified in the lives of his people. You remember the 137th Psalm, where in verse 4, and the psalmist is reflecting on exile and says, how will we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It seems like a tall order to be singing praises to God when we're off somewhere surrounded by idolaters and people who are in rebellion against God and people who really have got the upper hand over God's people. That doesn't seem like a situation that's going to cause for rejoicing and celebration. But here's a verse that reminds us that we should be celebrating. We've got good cause to do that. Now, it's not clear if this verse is looking back at what God has done, and you might think of the way God brought his people out of Egypt. Is that what we're celebrating? Or are we looking forward to the time when God's going to bring his people out of exile in Babylon? So are we looking back? Are we looking forward? Well, really, at the end of the day, it probably doesn't matter, because God's able to do this. He has demonstrated that he can do it, and he is going to be able to do it again in the future. So the reminder for us, the encouragement for us, is that when we find ourselves in those kinds of wilderness exile places where it might seem like there's no obvious way out, we can still sing God's praise. We can still celebrate, because God is able to deliver. God does bring his people out. What God has done assures us of what God will do. It guarantees what God will yet do. And that's why Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7, "In this you rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, even though it's refined by fire, that faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so Paul, as Peter writes to people who are in exile, whose faith is being tested, and he says, you can rejoice because you can be confident of the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus. We're able to sing even while we're in exile. And in fact, the picture that Isaiah paints, it's a great one. It's the whole creation singing that reminds us, of course, that ultimately there will be a new heaven, a new earth. This earth that is filled with groaning. Remember Paul's word, the whole creation groans because of the pernicious effects of the fall. But the creation which groans now will be renewed and restored, and as it were will burst forth with praise to our God for his redeeming work. So we're able to sing while we're in exile. So remember those things. John Calvin says, "Error and delusions can never prevail as long as the remembrance of God is rooted in our hearts." So as you go out into the week, as you go out to live in the idol factory, remember God. And be assured that he remembers you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and its richness and sweetness, and we pray that it might be an abiding portion, that we would meditate on it, and that it might be food for our souls and strength to our bones, even when it seems that times are hard. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.